Snakes. Landmines. And grass fires. A podcast about real estate.
Oh, welcome again, everyone. Here we are at the Poodle Ranch. And we had an exciting event yesterday. We had one little puppy born. One little girl. So, fortunately, my dear sweet husband and real estate broker, Lester Langdon, is supportive of all my poodle habits. So, and here he is today to talk to us about iBuyers.
The ranch hand at the Poodle Ranch. And so, but the puppy's not going to be by itself when it grows up, is it?
No, we have two puppies that are 2 weeks older. So when they're all about a month old, they can all hang out together and play.
So we're going to talk about snakes, landmines, and grass fires.
Oh, but we always do, so that's nothing unusual.
I recently had a phone call with a client, and she said that she had a solicitation from an iBuyer.
Okay, hold on. What is an iBuyer?
An internet buyer that wanted to put a bid in on her house. And I contacted the iBuyer, the internet buyer, and they decided not to make an offer. The reason I suspect was not the reason that they gave. They gave some inane and innocuous reason for deciding not to make an offer. And I'm guessing the seller just wanted too much money.
Okay.
So maybe on TV you've seen some iBuyers advertise. They are OfferPad, Open Door, Zillow Instant Offers, Redfin Now, and Knock. .com.
So how prominent are these buyers in the market?
You know, I read that 10% of the homes purchased now are purchased by these internet buyers, these iBuyers. And that seems like millions of homes worth billions and billions of dollars.
It does.
So they're what they call a disruptor in the market. Except I really haven't noticed them that much.
Yeah, really.
But they're out there making buying lots of homes. And the reason they exist is to help owners of homes avoid the pain of the real estate process.
But you don't make it a pain.
I stop pain.
Stop pain.
I'm like a doctor.
I never thought of you that way.
They will offer to buy a home, but they'll only do a desktop appraisal, meaning that there actually will not be a licensed appraiser go inside your home. They will not do an inspection either. And it'll happen quick.
How quick is quick?
A couple of weeks. Oh. Maybe 3 weeks.
That's quick.
That's real quick. And some people have argued about what is the reality of the seller getting a fair price. So if you ask 10 people the value of a property, you're going to get 10 different answers. Some people have suggested that internet buyers will offer 7 or 12% below the true market value, and thus the seller nets less than the seller would get through a traditional broker, even if the traditional broker asks for a 6% sales commission. Of course, of that 6%, the broker representing the seller gets 3%, and the other 3% goes to the buyer's broker.
But the advantage, I guess, is speed.
And no, actually, the true purpose is to relieve pain of the process of going through a real estate transaction.
Yeah, but you're also saying they'll get less money.
Right, exactly. Well, that's an arguable point. The iBuyer then uses a discount broker or an employee to sell the property. The argument is that even if the iBuyer, internet buyer, sometimes loses money on the transaction, they do so many transactions that they make up the difference that they would incur if they have an occasional loss. So if they turn their money over 15 times in a year and make 5%, that's 75% on their money. And so if they make a mistake and lose a little bit, they're fine.
Well, I guess it depends on, you know, what you want or what you're wanting to, out of your property or what you're trying to do to, when you're selling. So what can you do to help avoid the pain so these people don't have to go through all this, but yet they're getting a better price?
The reason for this disruption is consumer to avoid the pain of the real estate process. You know, I started this podcast about snakes, landmines, and grass fires because I have seen the pains of the process that are caused by changing personnel, institutional policies, guidelines, bureaucratic rules, and laws. The number of pages in a sales contract of a single-family home used to be 7 pages, and now it's like 13 or 14 pages in the last 15 years we've had that change.
Got to get those regulations in there.
You know, I suggest that experience can foresee some possible problems which can be averted by just avoiding some buyers or writing a contract to prevent a future possible problem or to transfer the pain to the other side of the transaction. I've got over 49,000 hours of transaction experience to help avoid the rocks that hide the snakes. Certainly, there's one problem that can be cured by time and pain, and that problem is caused by clients having unrealistic expectations.
Explain what you mean by that, if you would.
Well, sometimes buyers are looking for a really good deal, and they want to meet all their expectations, and sellers want unrealistic prices. I am experiencing that with a seller right now, and I suggested a price, and this lady said, well, no, let's ask this price, and 6 months later, it's still not sold.
Well, you got to price it on the market. The market determines the price, basically, yeah.
Well,
not the seller.
Well,
we know that.
She wanted more money.
Right. So she can keep waiting then.
Sellers normally want sales prices that are not possible today, but maybe later possible after several years of inflation.
True. If you want to wait a couple years.
They oftentimes choose an agent or a broker that promises a higher price because they want to get the listing, only to be disappointed later and then reduce the price to a reasonable price, sometimes with the next broker.
Are you saying that some agents might come in and tell them they can get X price just to get the listing, and then what they really know, that's probably not what they can get?
And then later on, they try to convince the seller
to reduce the price. Yeah, they should always go in with the right price.
I mentioned that the issue is really not the price. The first question to ask is, when do you want the money? And then set the sales price. If you don't need your money right away, then you can let the market tell you what the price should be. Preferably, you should price it correctly. But if you want your money quick, you might want to price it lower to get a quick sale. Buyers want to find a good deal at wholesale. However, sellers price at unrealistic retail prices. The buyer should look for properties that they can add better management and also add features to increase the property value. It helps to have the experience as a senior property tax consultant to know how to determine the value of thousands of properties.
Hold on. You are also a senior property tax consultant along with all this other experience?
I got my,
with snakes, landmines, and grass fires?
I got my property tax consulting license decades and decades ago.
Oh, you can't be that old.
I started when I was 5.
Oh, okay.
It's good to know appraisal theory and the 3 methods to determine value.
I think we already did a podcast on appraisal theory, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We'll repeat that the 3 methods are the comparable approach, the reproduction approach, and the income approach. The income approach is only used for income-producing properties. If you've got a fourplex, an appraiser doesn't even use the income approach, or for single-family homes, only for commercial properties and multifamily properties, 5 units or larger.
I forgot. Now, what was the reproduction approach?
The reproduction approach is...
what it costs to rebuild?
The price of the land at a fair value plus the cost to build new.
Okay.
And then you depreciate the property depending upon how old it is and subtract that from the new sales price.
Thank you for that reminder. I had forgotten.
You can look for our digital online app that can help you calculate your income-producing property using the income approach. It's easy to understand and use, and you can use it on your desktop or your phone. Certainly, most snakes can be avoided by writing the snakes out of the sales contracts. Most agents know how to fill in the blanks on the contract, but they don't know some of the pitfalls and maybe how to fill in the blanks or write the contract such that the snakes go away.
We don't ever want to see a snake.
It's interesting. There was a newscast this last week about a house in Texas, and they found 45 rattlesnakes under the house.
No, that gives me the creeps.
So they had to call a snake
specialist
to get rid of the 45 rattlesnakes.
I hope they didn't relocate them. I hope they all. So those little snakes are in snake heaven now.
You know, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I add legal clauses to the promulgated forms. However, I can suggest caution with certain contractual situations, and I can mention some solutions. Sometimes snakes appear after the contract is written. Several years ago, I was helping a client to buy a 45-unit multifamily property in very poor condition. It was a very experienced buyer, and he was buying it at a good price. But 5 feet of the corner of one of the buildings overlapped or encroached onto the land parcel next to it.
Now, how would that even have gone into a contract when he bought it back those years ago?
So the person that was selling it did not know that it encroached and lapped over onto the land next door.
Why, but wouldn't the title company have figured that out?
Well, I was very fortunate.
What about the surveyor?
When I was helping this buyer to buy this property, I was fortunate to pick a good title company with a competent escrow officer, which found a letter from a distant past owner whereby the owner had signed to allow the encroachment.
Oh.
So the property next door said, oh, okay, you can build your apartment on my land. And he signed off on it.
And that letter was in the title company, or it was on record?
I don't know how they found it.
That's just amazing.
That shows it was a very good title company.
Yes, it was.
My experience helps to remedy and salvage a transaction. On a more positive note, we should talk to discuss your concerns, and we should prepare for the unknown. We should reveal the not obvious. You know, there are often unusual and unexpected problems. What are the underlying main issues? You should ask revealing questions and find the true answers. So you should ask who, what, when, where, and how, and we know what to do, and we enjoy helping people. Phone us at 281-236-8189, and we can discuss real estate. You can go to our website at eustonius.com. That's EustonIUS.com.
Or visit us at the Poodle Ranch.
Come on by.
Oh, y'all come.
Bye-bye.